we'll start. Good afternoon. My name is AJ. I am the product manager in Microsoft, and I work on Configuration Manager, System Center Configuration Manager, and what now is called System Center Endpoint Protection as well. And this is Mark. I'll let Mark introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Mark Florida. I work on the Configuration Manager and Endpoint Protection products as a program manager lead. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome. You know, for us, it's lunchtime, so we really appreciate you guys coming in this time. And for today's session, we wanted to have a couple of objectives. The first one is to give you an insight on trends and evolution of malware and where the entire industry is going. Just wanted to share some insights that we as Microsoft get and give you some pointers to more information that you can get to provide a security strategy for your own enterprises. That's number one. Number two, obviously, the main thing is to provide you with an overview of System Center Endpoint Protection. So where we have gone for the last year and a half, we have been working hard for the latest release for Endpoint Protection. That's now called System Center 2012 Endpoint Protection. And so we wanted to give you an overview of what's new in it, how you can manage it, and protection technologies that are included in it. So those are the objectives. Before we begin, I always like to take a poll and understand where you guys are coming from and the context of what we can tell you and what we can present. So with that, the first poll is, I want to know how many of you are using Forefront Endpoint Protection? Whoa, awesome. I always love these polls when majority of people take their hand out. And how many of you are using the older version called Forefront Client Security? Few of you guys. All right. So that gives me context to provide information for both how it has changed from FCS, Forefront Client Security days, and what has changed since Forefront Endpoint Protection. So Mark and I are going to talk about the management side as well as the protection engine side as well. So let's talk about evolution of malware first. All of us here obviously know this, that the malware in the last 10 years have drastically changed. The threat vectors, the way people target different vulnerabilities, the way exploits are happening these days have changed and completely expanded with social networks and social applications and the way people are using these applications from devices to devices. So things have changed. And you as enterprise, as an enterprise administrator, need to change and have a robust security policy and security strategy in your enterprise. The good news is that the vulnerabilities within the applications, within the operating systems, the trend is going down, meaning that the vulnerabilities are going down, the quality of software, the quality of operating system coming up is better. And I'm not making this stuff up. This is actually Microsoft's, a team within Microsoft, who actually takes telemetry in from millions of devices that we have out there that we process using Windows Update, or we process through Endpoint Protection Engine. We get all the telemetry. We get all the information. And with that information, we have a global team that just checks the monitors, security, monitors, malware, monitors the happenings in the industry, and provides a 6-monthly report. That report is called as Security Intelligence Report, SIR. You should actually check that report. It's on our website. Even if you search Microsoft SIR, you should be able to get to that link. What that report gives you is the trends that are happening in the security industry on the malware that has been seen in the last 6 months, the vulnerabilities that are seen in the wild, and what you should do or what others are doing to combat those vulnerabilities, to combat those threats. So that report is very important. And based on that report, I can tell you that the vulnerabilities are going down. That's the good news. The bad news is that the exploits are going up. Exploits, for example, exploits like JavaScript. We have seen exploits based on HTML. They're going way, way up. And the reason for that is social networks. You have social apps, people interacting with each other in a very different way. And so targeted attacks have gone on rise because of those different technologies coming into picture. So again, those exploits are going way up, and we need to have a good, sound security strategy. So we wanted to set context before we went into endpoint protection overview. And the reason why we wanted to set context is that you need to have a comprehensive security strategy, comprehensive risk management strategy. Endpoint protection is just part of that strategy. And so let's talk about quickly different personas that we see out there using the exploits, using those vulnerabilities. Of course, you have the curiosity and personal fame type of exploiters, hackers who are hacking celebrity web pages or celebrity personal pages, something trivial as that, just being curious or just doing it for personal fame. Then you have authors. That's a new trend, that people are authoring tools, malicious tools, and making it available to other users as well. These we call them as experts because they obviously have more knowledge about creating these tools and creating malware. Then you have personal gain, which is really, really important for all of us in the enterprise area, where you have data theft, you have real theft that is happening from your enterprise resources. And the last one that many of you, I'm sure, must have heard are the targeted attacks using spies or using targeting national governments, those kind of things, where all the national resources or corporations are targeted specifically using different malwares. Those are the trends. But I want to highlight two specific trends. One I briefly talked about, and that's called targeted attacks. Targeted attacks, or they're also called as advanced threats, advanced persistent threats. And those threats specifically are targeted towards national institutions, towards specific individuals. Obviously, there are a lot of different techniques that are coming out. Flame virus is one of those examples that you might have heard. Those are advanced persistent threats that use specific targets, use multiple different threat vectors, multiple different techniques, and attack those targets. The second trend that we see is the malware generated malware. It's very difficult to track. Those guys who are creating malware, they are treating that as a commodity, meaning they're getting their tools and making it available freely on a website. I'll not name any website, but there are many websites that you can go to and actually buy these tools for cheap, and then people can use those to target different applications, target different corporations. That's very dangerous. And so the point of all this is, and where we are going with this, is that you need to have a sound security strategy. You need to have risk management strategy. And that should encompass everything from prevention to detection to monitoring of all those resources you have. And endpoint protection provides you with one of those tools. With System Center Endpoint Protection, you have majority of resources there to specifically make sure that your desktop or your client is secure. So in today's presentation, we are going to highlight three basic benefits that you get out of System Center 2012 Endpoint Protection. Many of you have Forefront Endpoint Protection already deployed. I'm assuming that you are familiar with System Center Configuration Manager. FEP, as we call it, was built on System Center Configuration Manager 2007. System Center 2012 Endpoint Protection, which was RTM'd, meaning released in May this year, is completely integrated with System-Centered 2012 Configuration Manager. So the first benefit that we are going to talk about, and Mark is going to show, is unified infrastructure, how we have integrated and provided you with a unification of unified single infrastructure to manage and deploy your clients and security of those clients. The second one is how we have simplified the administration, how day-to-day operations have become simpler so that your IT admins can take advantage of the resources we have with Configuration Manager. And the last one really is about enhanced protection, how we have continued to invest in the protection engine that you already have in Forefront Endpoint Protection. So with that, I'm going to let Mark talk about various features and benefits about unified infrastructure, and I'll come back to talk about simplified administration.
Great. Thanks, AJ. So what the point of this slide is to kind of set some context, that when we think about security and we think about compliance within our product set, with inside Configuration Manager and Endpoint Protection, we don't just think about it as simply the Endpoint Protection product and what you get with that, that being anti-malware and firewall policy. Instead, we think of it as a stack. It's a stack of features that you can leverage to really look at protecting endpoints completely. You know, for example, there may be critical security settings you need to have placed in place, so settings management can come into play there. You may need to also make sure you have all the critical updates applied. That's where software updates plays a role. You may also need third-party updates. That's, you know, how you know, System Center Update Publisher can come into play as well for getting those third-party patches. And, you know, last on there as well is just also a statement of, it's not just about protecting sort of laptops and desktops anymore. It's also making sure you have the right controls in place, even on mobile devices. So as we sort of think about this as an internal product team, we focus on trying to protect the entire stack. And it's also, I think, worth mentioning as well that you can use, you know, Configuration Manager, Settings Management to also secure other sort of factors that you might have in play. For example, you might have critical settings that are necessary in Internet Explorer. So let's say Smart Screen, for example. And when we as sort of Microsoft think about securing an endpoint, we really think of it as a, you know, a layered approach. Try to protect the core at the app layer and so on and so forth. And with Configuration Manager and Endpoint Protection together, you can use it as a product to kind of secure all those different layers. What we have later in this week on Friday is we have a session on software updates and settings management. That's where we go into using it a bit more as a, you know, not just endpoint protection related, but how you can use those capabilities, the updates and the settings management pieces, to try to secure your entire device that you have out there. So what I'm going to do, as AJ mentioned, was really go into how we unified our infrastructure. You know, really kind of our goal here was to make the product in such a way that a security administrator could use it. With Forefront Endpoint Protection 2010, built on top of Configuration Manager 2007, sort of the meta takeaway is that it required a reasonable amount of understanding of Configuration Manager in order to use that feature set. And we got plenty of feedback from customers around the need to really provide a optimized administrative experience for, you know, just a normal security admin to be able to operate the product. So before we get into that section, we first have to talk about what we did to really remove a lot of parts. And what I'll kind of highlight here is really just sort of the point around unifying the infrastructure. What we did is we basically integrated Endpoint Protection directly into Configuration Manager, and then that resulted in just, you know, just not needing a lot of the parts that you might need with Forefront Endpoint Protection. So it sounds like most of the audience is kind of familiar with what this looks like. With FEP 2010, you had your own database, you had your own console extensions that you'd have to deploy and install. So you basically ended up with this, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was really just an add-on. It was something that you installed on top of your Configuration Manager infrastructure. What that did is it really brought in a lot of complexities. I'm sure you all know how the system works. Just in the UI, we'll refer to things as anti-malware policy, for example, but under the covers, it's using software distribution. And then the challenge that then raises is that if you ever have to troubleshoot an issue, you know, how come anti-malware policy didn't apply on a client, then the security administrator would need to understand software distribution, which isn't necessarily what we want the security admin to have to know anything about. Same thing would play out with client deployment. You have to understand software distribution. So what we really tried to do was, how do we remove a number of these pieces, you know, such as getting rid of the extra databases, getting rid of having to treat reporting as a separate exercise, how to just integrate into our console, the config manager console, the ability to, you know, see just, you know, endpoint protection related activities. And what we ended up happening was we basically took, let's say, the client work from the right side of the slide over, is we took the endpoint protection client, we removed it from software distribution, so you no longer have to deploy this as a separate package and, again, understand software distribution. What we did is we just integrated it directly into the configuration manager client. So using a mechanic that's very sort of fundamental to how configuration manager works is you just use our normal client policy. So just like how you would have a client agent setting to turn on a feature like software updates or software distribution, you would use client agent settings going forward to turn on endpoint protection. And then it's a simple checkbox exercise. You just say, yep, I'd like to do it, and I'll show you what that looks like in a demo. And then what we do is we handle all the mechanics of making sure the endpoint client gets installed, making sure it stays installed, making sure default policy gets applied. The other thing that we did, too, was we basically, and this doesn't maybe do it justice, is we took policy, where policy was, again, this thing built on top of software distribution, and what we built it on top of, again, was client agent settings. In the UI, you won't know that that's how it's worked, and we made an intentional sort of segmentation in how our product was architected. But the key piece, again, is that anti-malware policy is using a very sort of primitive, fundamental piece of configuration manager. As a result, there's a heck of a lot less moving parts. As a result of that, it's a lot more reliable. And we treat it just like we would treat normal client policy in terms of our ability to make sure it's successfully coming down to a client, successfully being processed. So while we did a lot of things to simplify, we also did a lot of things to really help build in some, you know, higher fidelity mechanics to make sure that the system as a whole is working, you know, at a much more optimum pace. I did leave the distribution point still on the slide. The reason it's important for an endpoint protection administrator can maybe depend on how you do role segmentation, and administrative role segmentation in your environment. You obviously still would want a distribution point for software updates. If you're using software updates to distribute definition updates, then the distribution point can be a very valuable piece there to try to minimize any wide area network impact that you might have. So this is a, you know, a screenshot of the new UI. I guess we should have asked a question earlier about how many people have seen endpoint protection in 2012. But if you've seen Config Manager 2012 and you've seen client agent settings, this type of UI should seem fairly similar to you. This is where you're creating anti-malware policy. Again, it's many of the same options that you are accustomed to in FEP 2010. We haven't necessarily spent a lot of time in configuration manager 2012 adding a lot of new new options into the policy. So it's many of the same things that you already are using today. The key thing, though, is the mechanic in which they're delivered is different. And what's great about changing that mechanic is, again, it works at that more sort of fundamental level. We also have now role-based administration, where we can securely treat this anti-malware policy as a separate object than what could happen in FEP 2010. In FEP 2010, anti-malware policy, since it was built on top of software distribution, was really using software distribution as the security model. So as a result, if you were a software dist admin, you would, in essence, have rights to anti-malware policies. You had to be a little clever to sort of figure out how to make that work. But now we have a clean segmentation between endpoint protection policies like anti-malware and software distribution. The other advantage of that as well is in Config Manager 12 with our role-based administration, we leverage that to customize the console. So for example, if you have reduced rights, like you're only an endpoint protection administrator, you'll only see the nodes and the actions in the UI that are appropriate for an endpoint administrator. You won't see the OSD node for our operating system deployment node. You won't see the software distribution nodes. And that can be a great benefit to, you know, customers when you think about down-level administrators having to train them, or it's also a great benefit if you're working across organizational boundaries within an IT organization, where you may want to make sure that this other group only has very finite rights to be able to interact with these objects. Over on the left there, there's a few things just to kind of reinforce if you're used to seeing them. We still have templates, so the ability to, you know, configuration manager server, for example. We still ship some out-of-box templates that you can use. We still have the ability to import, export, and merge. And you can still do things like prioritize policies to help resolve conflicts on the client itself. Software updates. What we did in, so again, this is not necessarily tied just to Endpoint Protection 2012, but what we did in Configuration Manager 2012 is we built inside the product a mechanic that we call auto deployment rules. And with automatic deployment rules, what that gives you is you no longer need to go to WSUS and configure the equivalent in a WSUS server. The advantage of auto deployment rules inside of Configuration Manager for definition updates is that it will leverage our content distribution system. So in FEP 10, if you're using WSUS for automatic deployment rules, and let's say you only had a single central WSUS server, then all your clients would, in essence, get that content from that WSUS server, which could be problematic depending on your network topology. With now this new feature with automatic deployment rules, again, it's just like normal patching. It just happens to run at a particular cadence. You know, let's say you want to scan clients once a day to make sure that their definition updates are up to date. What it will do is it will then grab content for those definition updates from the local distribution point itself. Now, in terms of client setup, I think I kind of hit on this to some extent, and I'll show you what this looks like in a little bit of, you know, better in the UI, is, you know, by simplifying, I think we just sort of almost erased a lot of the mechanics that people had to worry about with FEP 10. There is no client package. You know, you won't see that anywhere in the UI. The reason being is we basically took the FEP client itself and put that inside the Configuration Manager client. So you, in essence, go through the same deployment that you would go through with the Configuration Manager client. You would use client push or, you know, a logon script, however you want to deploy the Configuration Manager client. And then just using normal Configuration Manager client policy called client agent settings, you would just be able to check a box and say, I'd like to install the Endpoint Protection client. We still do all the other, all those things that you're used to in terms of feature functionality with FEP 10, for example, third-party removal, that's still supported. Our focus, again, was just on trying to really make this a nice, simple, rock-solid process for installing the client. So what I'm going to do is kind of hop in the console and show you a little bit more of what this looks like. One of the things to note is what you're going to see in this demo environment that we have set up is actually our SP1 console. So this is Configuration Manager 2012 and Endpoint Protection 2012 SP1. So you'll notice a few things that are a little bit different. And we'll talk later in the deck about some enhancements we made in SP1. So if you're just sort of wondering why something's there and you're not used to seeing it, it's because we're using some latest code. And then I think, fingers crossed, all the demos will work because we're really using pre-beta code as well. So this might get a little exciting. So the one thing I wanted to talk about is how you deploy the client. And one of this, and maybe the point of this sort of demo is to talk about, I don't know if it's necessarily a best practice, but it's definitely a practice that we know customers go through and we encourage them to go through when they're setting up and deploying Endpoint Protection. So once we did this integration in 2012, the actual enablement of the product is as simple as just installing a role. We have a server role, just like we have a software updates point, a management point, et cetera. We have a role that you need to install, and I'm not going to bore you going through that part of the demo because really all it is acknowledging a EULA. And once you enable that role, Once you enable that role, what it does is it allows you to then interact with Endpoint Protection features. So it was really put in place for two reasons. One was the EULA, so you could sign up and, you know, agree to use the product by the terms. But then functionality-wise, it does serve one important purpose, and that is that we install an Endpoint Protection client actually where the role is, and we use that Endpoint Protection client to translate the state messages that come back into friendly text. For example, we might get, you know, threat XYZ from the client, and it's some just code. We use the endpoint protection client on that role to translate that into some friendly text. So the role, while it is in the UI a little bit silly, just to check a box, it is it's super important when you think about reporting and you think about understanding the threats that come back. So I pre-did that just for the sake of it, sake of this demo. So what you're eventually going to do at the end of this kind of demo here is you're eventually going to create a policy, and you're going to say, I'd like the endpoint protection client to be enabled. But before doing that, before actually having the client, you know, get installed and start to function, there's a couple things you want to do prior to that actually occurring. The first thing you want to be able to, or the first thing you want to do is you want to review your policy, the policy that's appropriate for your environment. And what happens is there's a default policy when the product installs, and there always has to be a default policy. This is sort of the policy of last result, if you will. So what you can do is you can come in here and you can customize this policy, and very similar to what you would do in FEP10, set your scan schedule and so on. The other thing we allow you to do too is the ability to create a new policy. And one of the things you'll see here on the UI, if you're used to seeing 2012, is that in SP1 we now allow you to create what I kind of describe as just a subset of the policy. So, and this can be very beneficial to customers to really kind of keep their policy sets either smaller or to help manage changes to their policy sets. So in FEP10, as well as in 2012, the release that came out in April, what you would have to do whenever you created a new FEP policy is you would have to, in essence, define all the same settings over and over and over again. So what you ended up with was a series of policies where you might have had the exact same scan schedule in all of them. And that becomes a little problematic if you ever want to, let's say, update a scan schedule, because you got to go update each one of those policies. What we allow you to do now in SP1, is you can choose just the one part of the settings, the setting group is what we call it, that you want to modify and make unique. So, for example, I can create a new policy here where I only define new exclusions. So the advantage of this is you have a default policy, then you have this one little slice, if you will, that is your exclusions, and both of these objects get sent down to the client, and then the client merges the policies together on the fly, and then applies the resultant set of those policies. And what it's basically doing is it's basically using both merge capability, you know, like exclusions are easy to merge. It's really just a list of, you know, text that you can sort of bind into a single entity. And then for any item that's mutually exclusive, like a true-false value, that's where we still use that that priority mechanism that we have in our overall policies, where you set a higher priority or lower. I'm sorry, I forgot. It'll win if there's any form of contention on the client. So just kind of quick recap. Before deploying the client, make sure you set up your policy. The reason you want to do that is so that when the client gets installed, it's using the policy you want to have installed, and you don't wait for any form of a gap to be applied there. The next thing you want to make sure you do, too, is automatic deployment rules. So just in the interest of time, I had pre-created one. Again, automatic deployment rules are what's used to push out definition updates at a particular cycle. So setting this up can be used not just for definition updates. It can also be used for any other updates that are in the system. What you simply do is you pick the product from the Windows Update, Microsoft Update catalog. Pick any form of criteria you want to have. For definition updates, it's pretty straightforward. You basically grab endpoint protection and definition updates, done deal. But you can use this for more, richer functionality if you want to. So what you basically do is pick your updates that you want to pull down. Then what you do is you specify a evaluation schedule. This is the period of time that the rule will run. So as you can see here, I've set this for 8 hours. That's another thing we did in SP1 is we sped up our software updates infrastructure, if you will, so that we can handle updates much quicker and not overtax an extremely large hierarchy. If you have hundreds of thousands of clients, with our April release, we don't recommend using 8 hours, but in SP1 we've done a lot of optimizations to make that a reality. So here I'm using every 8 hours. So what will happen is the client every 8 hours will be scanned, check for the latest definition updates, grab it from the distribution point, and apply it. And then you have many of the same options that you are already used to having today with software updates. You know, for example, on this screen, I can choose, You choose when to apply the updates. For definition updates, it's pretty simple. Once you grab the new definition update, you tend to want to apply that right away, just because there just isn't much intrusion that happens on the client experience. And then you can do other things too, such as set up alerts and do other mechanics that are very, you know, something that you might do with software updates in general. So once this rule is put in place, the system will then automatically just work. It'll just every 8 hours check for new definition updates. It'll then evaluate that on the client and then apply those updates accordingly. So what we've basically done now is we've set up the policy that the client will first use. We've sort of primed the pump, if you will, in terms of the definition updates. We've set up an auto deployment rule to make sure that those definition updates that are out there on Microsoft Update have been grabbed from Microsoft Update, deployed out to all your distribution points. And then once you've sort of staged your environment, you're now ready to do the actual installation of the client. What you can do, again, just like I described with anti-malware policies, you can do this with client agent settings. What you can do is you can either do it in the default policy. So this is the policy that all configuration manager clients in your hierarchy will get. You can turn on endpoint protection at kind of that macro level if you want to. Or what we find is a little bit more typical, especially for customers who are maybe new to using the product, is you can, again, kind of create that thin slice of policy, this one specifically for endpoint protection. And here is where you basically set up, you basically say, I'd like endpoint protection to be installed. So it defaults to no when you install the product, and you just have to flip it to yes. And then what will happen is wherever you deploy this client agent setting to, you will then install the endpoint protection client itself. And then once the endpoint protection client is installed, it will immediately grab that policy, those policies that you defined previously. It'll apply those right off the bat. That way you're running at the right level of protection you want to run at. And then it'll also grab the definition updates as well from the distribution points so that you get the latest set ready to go. And you don't have to worry about pulling that over the wide area network. All right, so I'm going to turn back to the PowerPoint. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's me. All right, so Mark showed how you deploy your client, how easy we have made it, right? Now all you have to do is on the Configuration Manager console, you do the client settings, and the installable itself is on the client. That is included with Configuration Manager client. And once you do those settings that Mark said, you will get the endpoint protection agent will be installed, and then you will get those policies that Mark had said. So very simple. Now let's talk about the administration part of it and how easy we have made it to manage that agent once it is installed and deployed. The first thing that I want to talk about, and actually Mark showed you that interface, that dashboard, it's now fully integrated with Configuration Manager, similar to FEP, but there are no extensions or anything else required. You have, once you enable that endpoint protection role, you get different nodes that are specific to endpoint protection. Those are operationalized, meaning we have made it easy to make your day-to-day operations quickly, take remediation actions, monitor what's happening in the console, and see the impact of malware in your network. That's one. It helps you quickly identify what's happening. Second thing is, Mark actually stole my thunder a little bit, but it's okay. He's my friend. He talked about role-based administration. That's a net new thing. A lot of customers asked us about, hey, in my enterprise, I have one guy who's managing the clients through Config Manager, and then there's other guy who's the security guy, who actually needs to manage just the AV portion of it. And so with Configuration or System Center 2012, what we have introduced is role-based administration. So within the console, you can now have one admin for AV purposes and one admin for signature deployment or update deployment or just doing Configuration Manager super admin kind of deal. So you can have multiple admins having different type of access provided to them. using this role-based administration. So that's a huge new thing that we have added based on the feedback that we had received from people like you. With that, operationalization of security, as we like to call it, the other part is monitoring of client security. How do you monitor what's happening in your network? How have we made it simple? The first thing is, in Feb 2010, using Configuration Manager 2007, it was not as fast as our customers would have liked. Like, you didn't get immediate alerts, immediate results on what's happening on the clients. Right? It would take time to sync with the Configuration Manager client because we didn't have the channel that would be using high frequency, or it was not frequently checking with the clients to see what's happening. With 2012, what we have done is created this high frequency channel specifically for endpoint protection. So specifically for the endpoint protection events, we will use this high frequency channel to talk with the server so we know what's happening. If an event is triggered, we immediately know on the console, you will be able to see within minutes, you'll be able to get the alerts. Within minutes, you'll be able to know what's happening in your enterprise, what clients are impacted with malware, what kind of malware that is. So those kind of operational details, you'll be able to see within minutes. That's the net new thing that we have added. The other thing that you can get now is subscription. So we know that you may not be in the console all the time. And so what we have done is, we have enabled you to create an email subscription for those alerts. So if something is breaking out in your network, then you will get those alerts via email, so you can go to the console and take remediation actions. And I'm actually going to show you more details about setting alerts, taking remediation actions, and getting more details in monitoring your enterprise. The next part of administration, obviously, is once you have monitoring part, day-to-day activities, you are able to see it in real time. That's all good. But you also need to have historical understanding and trending of what is happening for your security. And that historical understanding and visibility you will get out of reporting that we provide through endpoint protection. Mark mentioned that within that unified infrastructure, now the database is common for Configuration Manager and Endpoint Protection. So the advantage there is that now you can customize reports. Well, first of all, you get 200-plus reports out of Configuration Manager. Those are out of the box. Few of them are related specifically for Endpoint Protection. So you have user-based reports where you can correlate what a user is doing with malware attacks that happen on the client. So you can, you know, understand, well, user AJ is using three different machines, and all three different machines are infected, meaning user AJ is bad, right? So that correlation can happen with our reports. But apart from those out-of-the-box reports, you can also have a customized report. So we have a great blog that our colleague has written. We have a link for that in our deck as well that you can refer to. But the point is, that blog talks about how can you customize reports using SQL reporting services and Report Manager. You can create customized reports, go in as much depth as you want using that consolidated database and get more information out of your Configuration Manager and Endpoint Protection. So those are the two things that I wanted to highlight, the monitoring part and the reporting part. And now I actually want to go to the client that Mark has deployed. And hopefully it will all work out, and we'll see the client deployed and in action. So I'm going to go to the client machine here. This is my new Windows 8 client. This is where Mark had deployed all the enabled endpoint protection and deployed the client settings. So as you can see here, this is my client. This is the new System Center 2012 client. Looks similar to Forefront Endpoint Protection client, except it says 2012 endpoint protection. So all the goodness from FEP is carried over to, I call it SCEP, but System Center endpoint protection. What I'm going to do now to show you how alerts are generated within a few minutes, I'm going to generate some malware on this client. And we'll see how that translates into my admin console, okay? I have an internal tool that we use for testing purposes, and I'm going to create some malware on this client. Let's do this. Let's generate more than one thread. So how about 10? I like 10. And then we'll generate this malware, and once that malware is generated, we'll close this up. Do it one more time. There you go. So I actually got, once I generated that malware, I actually got an alert on the client itself that, look, there was a malware detected, and it's automatically being cleaned. You don't have to do any activities on the client itself. So that's all and good. As a user, I'm happy that, oh, there was a malware, but that was detected. Endpoint protection is doing its work. It's already cleaned, and I can go into the history, and I can see all the details here as well. So I can see all the details of those simulated threats that I have on the client. But what about the admin part of it? The administrator needs to know as well. And as I said before, we have enabled alerts and monitoring of these threats in near real time, right? So you should be able to see it here. The first thing I'm going to do is create an alert for my collection. So the way I do it is I go to a device collection. Let's do it for all desktops. So in the properties of these collections, I have a tab for alerts. I'm going to add an alert. Now, there is one option here that says view this collection in endpoint protection dashboard. So we optimize for efficiency and optimize for operational details, meaning we have optimized so that you will not get all the collection in Configuration Manager. You will not get all of those collections in Endpoint Protection Dashboard. You should only see those collections and those clients that have endpoint protection enabled on it. So that way you are just optimizing for just the endpoint protection part of it in the Endpoint Protection Dashboard. So once you deploy endpoint protection, you will see those in that dashboard. But you also have an option. To enable it from here as well. So I don't want to do that. All I want to do is just create an alert. So I'm going to select all the alerts associated with endpoint protection. And there you go. So I'm now enabling different type of alerts. So for example, malware detection. That alert, I have the ability to define. I have the ability to define different alert severity levels. So I can say the severity of the alert, meaning the impact of the malware itself. What is the impact of that malware? It is severe. Or is it just a warning that you don't have to do anything? Is it just information level? So that's the impact of the malware itself. And then there is other option for me, which is the malware detection threshold, meaning what do I want to show and when do I want to show it, right? So high meaning any detection that happens, even if the threat is cleaned, you want to know it. You should select the high threshold for malware detection. You could also do a medium or low based on what your preference is, what the balance you want to have. Because if you select high, for example, then it's going to be chatty. Everything that happens on the client, every malware detection that happens on the client, is going to be shown to you as an alert. So that totally depends on what you want to do and what your what the balance you want to achieve. I am going to do high here right now, and then I've set an alert. Let's go to monitoring and see if I'm able to see all the alerts that I have created. So let's go all alerts. And now I can see the alerts that I enabled. I can see all those here. The other thing is I can also do subscriptions. As I mentioned here before, I can create a subscription, and I can define subscription name, email address, as well as which alerts I should enable this subscription for. So that was quickly about alerts. The next thing I want to do is make sure that I'm also able to see, I'm able to see those alerts in the dashboard. So it takes a couple of minutes to show me that activity and that malware being generated in the dashboard. This is the endpoint protection dashboard. This is what I was talking about earlier, that you'll be able to see. We have made it operational, so easy to take remediation action. All these links actually get you to some collections that you can take actions on. I'm going to run this summarization right now. You don't have to do it always, but just to speed up things, I'm going to run this summarization to see if I'm able to get quick alerts here. So I'm able to see. I'm able to see that one of the client is at risk. This was the threat that I had generated on the client that I showed you. And so the operational part is I can just click on this link, and it should take me to the client that is at risk. And it's slow today. There you go. So this is the client, my Win8 client that I had generated the threat. I can now take a remediation action. I can go to this client. I can select endpoint protection, and I could either run a full scan, I could force a definition download to this client, or I could go in and select malware detection. I'm going to search for detection time, and it shows me all the history. So this is the history of what has happened on that client. Gives you more details on the malware. Shows you what the action was on the client itself, what the severity level was. That's the alert that we had set. So this is giving you a simple information on that alert. And what you saw was when I double-clicked, it actually went online to show you more information from our Microsoft Malware Protection Center. So you can actually go to that link to automatically double-click, go to that internet site portal, and we'll give you more information there as well. Unfortunately, the internet is down in this building, is what I was told, so we'll not be able to go there today. But that's how easy we have made to monitor, to take remediation actions, and then get more information out of this as well. So I'm going to go back to our presentation and talk about Service Pack 1. The CTP for Service Pack 1 was made available to you guys 1 week before this. So it's available for you, and Mark is going to talk about what we have included in there and what you can test out if you're interested.
Sure. So one of the parts I already talked about at the top was that for software updates, we now support definition updates 3 times a day. So it'll, you can run that at any scale that we support. So that's great for large enterprises just to make sure they can keep up with the same cadence that Microsoft Update publishes definition files for. Number two here is what I think is a pretty cool thing for a configuration manager, which is real-time actions. So this is the ability for an administrator to not just select an action like run quick scan, but it basically will work on a client within a minute or so. I think we test up to large scale at around 5 minutes is what we mean by real-time, is less than 5 minutes. But in a demo environment, you can typically see it in a minute or two. It's fairly fast. What we've done is we've wired up this functionality to work against the actions that you can see on the screen here. And that third bullet at the bottom is one that I mentioned already when I was talking about anti-malware policies. This is that ability to take two separate policies and on the client itself merge them together. In FEP 2010 and as well as in Config Manager 12 general release, the one that happened in April, you always had the ability server-side to merge your policies, but that really didn't solve the ultimate problem, which was to try to really simplify how you manage policies. So that's now done where you can do it on the client. So what I'm going to do is kind of drill into the second bucket here. And what we have here is real-time actions, and this is how the system itself works. What I kind of do is use a telephone analogy, so hopefully it's not too out of date. What happens is the client, in essence, maintains, you could think of it like a dial tone back to a PBX. It's basically always talking to the server. And it's using a very lightweight TCP connection. So what it'll do is, in essence, kind of go to sleep for a few seconds here and there. So it's not always where you have up to 400,000 clients connecting into the hierarchy. You can kind of think of them as sort of threads that will come off and on. And it happens within a matter of seconds. That way we achieve the real-time functionality we were looking for. But it then balances performance. Because one of our goals when we implemented real-time actions is that we didn't want any customers to have to think about it. You should be able to select a collection, run a command, and you shouldn't have to worry about, oh, geez, is that going to crater my infrastructure? So what we've done is we built this new communication channel from our client to our management point, and we built it in such a way that we feel confident that the performance can scale. So what the client's doing is it's basically, think of it as like a dial tone. It's in essence waiting for a call to come in. And the person who places the call is the administrator. The administrator will go into the console just like you could do today, and you'd pick an action, for example, run a full scan. What that does is it creates a task on the management point. Basically it's a call, and what's happening is the client will then notice that task has been generated or that call has been placed, and it will say, oh, well, what do I need to do? What's the other end of the phone line asking me to do? Oh, it's looking to run a full scan. So what the client will do is it'll immediately pick that task up and it'll execute a full scan. And it's really just as simple as that. It just will, it's just basically as, kind of simple as the diagram there. The administrator says what type of task needs to be executed, and the client will just go and execute it and then return state back up to the server to, to be able to track that's been accomplished. So what I'm going to do is go back into the console here. And almost messed that one up. Okay, so one thing to show before we get into the actual action occurring is to hop back to the client just to level set. And I am worried I didn't, I did install Zoomit. So the thing to pay attention to at the bottom of the screen is that date, is that timestamp. So 5:22 a.m. back on the 25th was the last time we executed a quick scan. The reason that that's important is that I might miss this as I'm talking about the admin console, but ideally I'll time this correctly and you'll hopefully just see a progress bar going across because a quick scan was run. But if in doubt, hopefully we'll see current time for the server, which is the 26th. Okay, so to kind of tie these demos together from what AJ talked about is, this is where we kind of left off was you sort of drilled into the details of a particular client. So, for example, what I can do here is I can select this client, and then I can choose an action to run on that client. I can do this not just on a client level, but I can also do it at a collection level. For example, in a real-world situation, it's probably not one client that you need to remediate. It's usually multiple. So you can multi-select and do things. You can even be as bold as, hopping up here to all systems and executing that command. So I'll just kind of kick it off from this level for the heck of it. And it's going to run a quick scan. And this prompt actually has nothing to do with the functionality to enable these real-time actions. This is just a warning or reminder, if you will, to the administrator that their action might result in some form of end-user experience impact. So I don't care about that, so I'm just going to kick off and run the task. Now, this task can be tracked. What we've implemented here is a new node called Client Operations, and you can tell here, based on this node, how much we've done demos. We test and run this thing over and over again to make sure it works. So this is the one that I had just kicked off. And what we do is we sort of track at this task level the completion. What we have is some columns of interest, which are how many resources I may have targeted and so on and so forth. I would have to refresh this in a second or two for stuff to start filling out. But the important thing to kind of focus here is that you can almost maybe think of this as like a job. It's a little bit different than our normal product with deployments where you have to track those over time. The point of this view is so that you can get that understanding of, oh, I was supposed to run a quick scan across, 10,000 clients. You can come back here to make sure you're actually receiving those jobs are actually being complete, or these tasks are actually being run on the client itself. The other thing that we implemented too in Service Pack 1 is the ability to see threats across your entire environment from a single dashboard. So in 2012, just the release in April, you would have to either run a report or you would have to go to individual clients to figure out the threats that you were being impacted by. And that becomes kind of, problematic if you want to run certain operational actions. For example, let's say you wanted to allow a particular thread or you wanted to remove files from quarantine. Actually working at the actual threat level can be a lot more convenient. And what also this dashboard is nice too is it really can give you just at a glance, you can see, oh, this is a threat that's impacting this many machines, and you can really kind of focus your work accordingly. One of the things just to mention just operationally is the way the products work is what I meant, is that we primarily see this type of surface. We primarily see alerts as surfaces that need to work in real time. The reason being is that if you get an alert back from a client that says, there's malware on it, the likelihood of you being on the console isn't super high. So that's why we've wired up the mechanics to work into alerts, because alerts can then have email, and then you can be emailed or notified when you may not actually be at the console. So we've rigged that system to work just automatically as fast as possible. This surface here will also update very quickly. You don't have to run summarization, things like that, too often. I think we dial the interval down to some extent. Dashboard, when we kind of operationally think about the dashboard, we think of this as being more of your, how you might report status up the chain, how are we doing overall protection-wise. So that's why we have a slower interval in which we run summarization. I think by default it's 15 minutes or 60 minutes, something like that. And we just primarily just don't think of this as necessarily the right surface for people to deal with real-time actions. And also the other reason being is that we got a ton of information in this view. So if we were to run this at a very quick cadence, it can just be a lot of extra data processing, which isn't, super useful when you try to, really scale out and try to keep your hardware costs at a low point. Okay, so let me hop back to the client, and fingers crossed things are working. And I talked way too long, sorry. but, you can see at the bottom there that it just ran the scan at 3:53 a.m. Apologies for not updating the time zone. And that was a full 3 minutes, 3 minutes earlier from where I went on. So I forgot exactly when I started talking, but typically in a demo environment, it works in about a minute or so. And the reason I kind of know that is that just the way the TCP threads will kind of go to sleep and wake back up, sometimes it'll go through a randomization period where you can hit about a minute at a time. So that's real-time admin kind of notifications in a nutshell. So what I'm going to do is hop back to the PowerPoint. All right. Perfect. Hand it back to AJ for the client piece.
Thank you. So let's talk about protection. Remember I was telling you about, having comprehensive strategy, security strategy. So in this section, what I want to do is talk about how we are investing in enhanced protection of your clients. The first thing that I want to talk about is that comprehensive security strategy. You need to have a holistic risk management strategy, simply because just having point solutions like antivirus solution or a network firewall or an intrusion detection, that will help you combat generic threats, but those targeted attacks will need more strategy from you to make sure that you are always covered, right? And so the first thing that you want to do from a comprehensive perspective is that you want to make sure that your system is secure and its prevention is the first step to think about. Prevention starts from secure system. Your system is always patched, so Configuration Manager can help you there. And then use your existing operating system features. So that's what I wanted to show here.
that you have a lot of tools in your hands today with Windows, Windows 7, or upcoming Windows 8, even with Internet Explorer. So things like smart screen, right? You can have reputation filters, filter where the user is going and make sure that based on reputation, the site is safe or not. App locker, you can provide governance policies on what the user can do on applications, which applications can be installed on the clients, which applications are safe. You can do a lot of these blacklist, whitelist kind of things using Microsoft App Locker or BitLocker, which is, again, available to you as part of Windows 7. You can start doing data protection strategies using BitLocker. So all of those are available to you. And on top of it, as defense in depth, you have Microsoft's System Center Endpoint Protection. That provides you not just a signature-based antivirus engine. Of course, we have that. Of course, we have the anti-rootkit engine as well. But we also do a lot of proactive technologies within that protection engine. And you see a lot of these protection technologies listed here in the green bars. So at the network level, we have combined management of firewall. So basic management of firewall can be done through Configuration Manager console. You can do vulnerability shielding, meaning checking network stack and making sure that there are no vulnerabilities going out there. And then from an anti-malware perspective on the file system level or the application level, you have this heuristics-based engine that we provide that can help you proactively manage your threats, prevent threats coming into your network. Behavior monitoring and dynamic translation are two examples of that proactive technology. This is all backed through our global team that provides research on the technologies that we provide, provide research on the new threats that are out there, and can provide dynamic updates through the cloud. So you don't have to wait till the next signature update cycle. You can get dynamic updates using our Microsoft Active Protection Service. Let's quickly talk about heuristics detection. We are able to detect and emulate the malware, what or a suspicious file that is brought in on the client. We are able to first make an intervention, intercept, if you will, and put that file through an emulator in a virtual space. So we are not giving any real space for that application. First verifying through heuristics engine that the app is safe, and only then that program is allowed to carry on. So that's number one. That helps us also provide lower false positives. Microsoft's engine is consistently rated as a better engine that provides lower false positives. So that's that. This engine, this heuristics detection, helps us achieve lower positives. And the second thing is, since it's heuristics-based, we can detect many variants of the same virus or same malware. If it's a polymorphic virus automatically changing, then we are able to detect it based on this heuristic engine. The second thing that we provide is behavior monitoring. A slight differentiation between heuristics and behavior monitoring. Here, we are monitoring the system behavior. We have multiple sensors that are able to understand any suspicious behavior. So I always give an example of, look, there might be an unknown application that is acting as a Trojan and actually has a malware embedded in it. Now, when you get that file on the client and open that file, open that program may not be detected because it's unknown at this point, but when it opens up and actually tries to infect your machine, that malware which that application is carrying, that will be detected by endpoint protection. That will be blocked. But what about this program? You shouldn't even have this program on your client. So we are able to understand, look, there is some suspicious behavior happening with this application. And what we are able to do with the back-end Microsoft Active Protection Service is that we are able to send that sample, send that telemetry out to our back-end services, as you see here. And with research, if we have the latest information on that application, then we are able to dynamically send that signature right at that real time. We don't have to wait for that signature to go through the regular update process
and then the next time the client is updated, get the signature. No. We see a suspicious behavior. We identify that as a known Trojan, for example. Then we will send that signature out through Microsoft Active Protection Service. I encourage you to use this service in forefront endpoint protection. It's called Spynet. Looking at the name, you may not have enabled it, but trust me, this is really good. Good for you, and even good for us, because that also gives us telemetry and helps the community at large to get the latest malware information out there. It also helps us minimize the false positives. The more information you give us, let's say if a legitimate application is being blocked as a suspicious application, then with this Microsoft Active Protection Service, we know that, look, this is legitimate, we should allow it, and we can provide a new pattern, new signature for it, so we can minimize false positives as well. So I encourage you really to enable this in your enterprise. Talking of different proactive technologies, those technologies that I was talking about, for example, dynamic translation or behavior monitoring, vulnerability shielding, all those can be configured from the admin console. It's not very interesting. It's so simple that you just check a few boxes and a few settings, and you can configure those things. But the key here is the flexibility. You are able to configure those settings from admin console. You are also free to let the user configure it. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can have the user to also configure those proactive protection settings as well. And based on those proactive settings, based on the client that we have put out there, we actually received last year through AV test, we actually received an award for best usability of any antivirus client out there. So that's a very proud achievement that we got last year, and that was based on the client experience that we have. So I'm going to let Mark talk about the client experience in the next 5 minutes that we have left.
Yeah, so with the client experience, it really kind of dovetails with that award meant to us, is that we really have put a lot of time into our client experience to make sure that end users just aren't annoyed with endpoint protection. We've tried to take as best of a stance as we could to just make it not as chatty, give the administrator controls as need be to suppress notifications and do things like that. And really our goal, again, is about end users themselves, the people, not the IT people, but just the normal end users, they just want to be protected. They don't want to be bothered with the system working to help protect them. And that's what we've tried to take to heart. We like the award, that's nice and all, but really what it is sort of meant to tee up is just that when we're engineering the product, we really put a high focus on making sure that end user experience is optimized, because we know that the kind of quickest way to cause a bunch of help desk calls can be products providing sort of the bad, bad sort of user experience. One thing to kind of note, too, with SP1 is that we now have new clients for Mac OS as well as Linux. What kind of some quick highlights here you can see at the bottom is the actual OSs they support, but it's antivirus, anti-malware support. What happens is the machines will actually connect directly to the internet to be managed. What we have is a similar client UI that you're accustomed to seeing in endpoint protection, so it'll kind of look very similar. And we really kind of hope that this solution is a nice one to really, cover a lot of those client machines that you might have. If you're typical, like a lot of Microsoft customers we have, is you got a really heavy presence of Windows devices and you got a smaller subset of these sort of hetero clients that you might have. So that's where we hope that you can use this to cover your needs for, let's say, a Mac client set. So in summary, out of the session, kind of the key takeaways, if you're to do a compare and contrast to FEP10 to what you would get in Endpoint Protection 2012, is it's about integration. It's about really simplifying just the mechanics of the product. That then has ripple effects on the administrative experience. So leveraging functionality like role-based administration can really greatly reduce what the endpoint protection administrator may need to deal with. Also put in place real-time alerts. That way you can be confident that if there are any form of an outbreak breaks out, you can get that information to you as fast as possible. And then we gave you kind of a glimpse of what SP1 looks like. And what we encourage everyone to go do is go download the CTP that was released a couple weeks ago and play around with it. It's a pre-beta version of SP1, but in that you can see things like real-time operational actions, which can be very useful for an endpoint administrator as well. Online, we've got a number of different blogs that one of the PMs on my team writes, and he's got a long list of stuff that he's going to continue to iterate off of. So we encourage people to grab this at the end, you know, once they distribute this content, to be able to, you know, take a look at those blogs. A lot of neat stuff. For example, this top one is very interesting for dealing with rootkits if you need to put those into WinPE mode to be able to clean the machines off of. So he's basically wrote some blogs where you can leverage our OSD feature to help provide the mechanic of then leveraging Windows Defender offline. And he's got a whole smattering of other stuff as well. And lastly, this is just sort of, you know, template format for the session as a whole. Got a number of track resources, and I think the last thing I want to do is remind you to submit your evals. So thanks, everyone, for coming out. If you got any questions, you know, please come up to the, you know, podium here and ask away. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.